A large conference was being held in Chicago a while back with almost every religion of the world represented. And at one of the sessions, Dr. Joseph Cook, a Christian, addressed the delegates. He said, "I want to introduce you to a woman with a great sorrow. Blood stains are on her hands, and nothing she has tried will remove them. The blood is that of murder. She has been driven to desperation in her distress." And then he asked, "Is there anything in any of your religions that will erase her sin and give her peace?" Dr. Cook paused. No one offered an answer. And so, turning his eyes toward heaven, he said, "John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her awful sin?" And after waiting a few moments, he exclaimed, "Listen, John speaks." And he quoted from 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What is unique about God's people gathering to worship Jesus Christ? What is it? It's the fact that wherever we have come from, regardless of how stained and tainted our past, we can start clean. We can be washed of our sin and be holy in God's sight because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I can't think of any better news to rehearse with you on this first day of a new year. It's possible, friends, for you and me to start clean. And I'd like to rehearse that with you this morning, especially as we look at this passage from Philippians chapter 3. See, some of us are entering this new year, and whether we like it or not, if we're honest with ourselves, there's almost like a rope that's tied to our leg. And some of us want to run the race this new year. Some of us want to achieve all that God has in store for us. Some of us, or perhaps most of us or all of us, want to launch into all that God would have in store. And yet, it's like there's an invisible rope tied to our leg on one end, and the other end is tied to the past. Actually, for some of us, it's more than a rope. For some of us, it's a chain. And you cannot break free of your past. Well, friends, I want to rehearse with you from this passage. I believe there's three things that we need to observe and practice if we're going to really start clean and enjoy this year the way God intended us. The first is, there's a past that needs to be forgotten. Paul said in verse 7, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." In verse 13, we read, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." It's over, it's past. 1992 will never come again. It's gone, friends. Every day that you've ever lived will never come again. It's gone. And yet so many of us are still chained and tied to our past and will never enjoy the full dimensions of what God has in store for us until we make a break with the past. There's a past that has to be forgotten. And some of you, like the Apostle Paul, may have to let go of your successes. More of us probably have to let go of our failures. I'm amazed at how many Christians wander around this world with a spirit of gloom, a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of, "Oh, I just don't measure up." Friends, the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Some of you are letting the devil kick you around the block and condemn you and make you feel like a piece of dirt. If you are in Jesus Christ, friends, it doesn't matter what your past. It doesn't matter how deep your sin is. It doesn't matter how you have been scarred and stained. In Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. The hymn says, "There is a grace that is greater than all our sin." Praise God. Don't be tied. Don't let the devil tie you to your past failures. This morning, we come to the table of the Lord that reminds us there's a place of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Some of you, however, may have to let go of your successes. Paul was one of those guys. He was hot stuff. He brags about himself in the first part of the chapter, basically saying, "I was the cat's meow. I was the apple of God's eye. I met all the standards of the law." I find it interesting that it was this guy who said, "I count it all as rubbish." In verse 8 he says, What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Now this word is troublesome for pastors and for Bible exegetes, because we don't like to admit what the word really means. And so even the translators say rubbish. You know what the word means in the original language? I wouldn't say what it really means. But let me come close. It means some combination of the above. Dung, muck, excrement, scraps, refuse, filthy lumps of manure. Get the idea? Paul is saying, all that I had to brag about in the past, all the stars and stripes in my crest on my jacket, all of the things that are a flower in my cap, all of them, friends, if I compare them with Christ, are but rubbish. How is it possible that you can look at your past and whether it's failure or success, how is it that you can sum it all up and say it's all rubbish? How? Because there is a prize to be factored. If you had $1,000 in your hand this morning and I said, I'd like you to give me that $1,000, how many of you would willingly give it? I thought so. But if I said, I'd like you to give me that $1,000 and in exchange I'd like to give you $1,000,000, how many of you would give me your $1,000? I see three hands, yeah. A couple honest people. You see, there's a comparison here. Paul said, when I look at my past, I consider it rubbish, not just because it's rubbish in and of itself. In and of itself, it looked really good. It was great. I spent my life doing it. But when I compare it with the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, it's like the thousand to the million. Actually, it's not even like that. It's like a drop versus the ocean. There's no comparison. We have a prize to factor into this. In verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In verse 8, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing Christ, gaining Christ, being found in Him. This is the prize, my friends, that must be factored into the equation of my calculation of the value of what's ahead of me. And then he says, I have no personal righteousness of my own. Even all those good things, all the things I thought were to my credit, they're rubbish. I have no, absolutely zippo, nothing. Not one item of righteousness that I can offer God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever discovered that, friends? The Bible says all of our personal righteousness is like filthy rags, and I won't translate that one either. I have no righteousness, but where does it come from? I have a righteousness that is God's righteousness that comes to me, that is given to me through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you want your righteousness, or do you want God's kind of righteousness? What kind do you want? Paul says, that's what I want. That's the factor. That's my prize. That's my goal. That's the treasure that I live for. I want to know Christ, he says. I want to know Him. And I want to know the power of His resurrection. Have you ever thought about the resurrection? What kind of power raised Jesus Christ from the dead after being dead for 3 days? Paul said, I want to know that kind of power. That kind of equation, that kind of item needs to be in your equation of what's valuable in life. I want to know the power of His resurrection. And then he says something strange. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, I don't like that. Paul said, I want to know that too. I want to be able to identify with Jesus Christ in His pain, in His agony, in His suffering. Perhaps he remembered the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 when he said, or Matthew 5, pardon me, 11 and 12, blessed are you when all men curse you and speak evil of you and persecute you for righteousness' sake, because why? Great is your reward in heaven. Paul said, suffering, reward, ha, rubbish. I want to identify with the suffering so that I may attain somehow to the resurrection of the dead, so that I may attain to all that God has for me in store in Jesus Christ. There's no comparison. And so there's a past to be forgotten and there's a prize to be factored. And then, friends, there's a path to be followed. In verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I haven't already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, not two, not three, not one and a half, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, this year is untainted. This year is untouched. How are you going to live it? You have a choice before you. You can stay and continue on in this world trying to do your best, trying to do your part. You can stay tied to your past if you want to. Or you can start clean. You can start fresh. You can live for your manure if you want to. Or you can live for Christ. What do you want? You can walk in the ways of death if you want to. Or you can pursue life. I don't know about you, but the beginning of this year, I make a choice. I'm pressing on to know Christ in all His fullness. I want to lay hold of that prize for which God has laid hold of me. I'm letting go of my past. I'm starting clean. And I'm pressing on. Any joiners? Well, if you want to start clean with me this morning, friends, then it involves confession. Confession is admitting to God, like Paul, I have no righteousness of my own. I don't come to you, God, with anything to brag about. My only claim is that in Jesus Christ you have given me your righteousness. Let's sing about that together in hymn number 438 as we confess our sins.